Chapter 5. These were the remarkable visions of these blessed testifiers, Saturos and Perpetua, which they themselves wrote. As for Secundalos, God called him to depart from this age earlier than the others, while he was still in the prison, not without favor, that he might not have to fight with the beasts. Nevertheless, his flesh, if not his soul, made acquaintance with the sword. As for Felicitas, she also was visited by the favor of God in this way. She had been pregnant when she was arrested, and was now in her 8th month. As the day of the exhibition drew near, she was very distressed that her death would be postponed because of her pregnancy, since it is not permitted for pregnant women to be executed, and that she might have to shed her sacred and innocent blood afterwards, along with others who were common criminals. But also, her fellow testifiers were painfully saddened, being afraid that they would have to leave behind such an excellent friend to travel alone on the same road to hope. And so, 2 days before the show, in one torrent of common lamentation, they poured forth a prayer to the Lord. Immediately after their prayer, the birth pains came upon her. And because of the natural difficulty of an 8 months' delivery, she suffered a great deal in labor. Because of this, one of the ministers of the prison guards said to her,
"You suffer so much now. What will you do when you are thrown to the beasts? Little did you think of them when you refused the sacrifice."
And she replied,
"What I am suffering now, I myself suffer. But then another will be inside me who will suffer for me, because I too shall be suffering for him."
In this way, she gave birth to a girl, whom one of the sisters brought up as her own daughter. The Holy Spirit has permitted, and by permitting, willed, that the proceedings of this show be written down. Therefore, because of this, we shall carry out the command, or indeed, the commission of the Most Holy Perpetua, however unworthy I might be to supplement such a glorious story. At the same time, I shall add one example of her perseverance and nobility of soul. The tribune had treated them with unusual severity because, due to the information of certain incredibly foolish men, he feared that they would be teleported out of the prison by magical incantations. And Perpetua replied directly to his face,
"Why can you not even allow us to refresh ourselves properly? For we are the most distinguished of the condemned prisoners, seeing that we belong to Caesar and that we are to fight on his very birthday. Would it not be to your credit if we were brought forth on the day in a healthier condition?"
The tribune became disturbed and blushed. And so, he issued an order that they were to be treated more humanely, so that her brothers and other persons were allowed to enter, and that the prisoners might be refreshed in their company. By this time, the adjutant in charge of the prison was himself a believer. Also, on the day before the exhibition, when celebrating their last meal called the free meal. They did not celebrate a free meal, but rather a love meal. They spoke to the people with the same steadfastness, warned them of God's judgment, calling to witness the joy they would have in their own suffering, and ridiculing the curiosity of those who came to see them. Satouro said,
"Will not tomorrow be enough for you? Why are you so eager to behold what you hate? Friends today, foes tomorrow. Nevertheless, mark our faces well, that you may recognize them on that day."
Everyone departed from the prison in amazement, and many of them believed.